Welcome to Out There with TJ Ryan. It's strange. It's unusual. It's mysterious. It's out there, out there, out there, out there. And now your host, TJ Ryan.
I have met many people in the last number of years doing this podcast. And before that, I met a lot of people. But, you know, I always would keep a mental note and thought, well, I don't know why I'm doing that. And people would tell me stories. And you would meet some really fascinating. And it's like there was a time when it was hard to know these kind of people. But the Internet has changed so much of it. Well, I have to thank Anya, who I've known for, I don't know, a few years. She is... She sends me interviews. She works with a company that promotes people, whether it's authors or speakers or whatever, whoever it might be. And her, and, you know, Anya and I have talked over the years about different things, and she's open to some really cool things. So then she's telling me she learned how to do automatic writing from a woman by the name of Brandaline Johnson. And I said, oh, that's really cool. I'd like to talk to her. She goes, yeah, I think that would be awesome. So she tells me Brandaline lives in Traverse City. And I'm going, Traverse City, Michigan? And she said, yeah. And I'm thinking, well, that's just across the lake. Now, probably, I think by car, it's only 4 or 5 hours to cross the Mackinac Bridge. So she's in Lower Michigan. She's with me today. How you doing, Brandaline?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Thanks for talking to me today. Anya said that you really helped her with this course that you offer online that allows people to develop their skills. And she also sent me an email that you talked about people that have autism or maybe other different things are actually highly developed or could be potential psychic ability.
Yes, it's more so people with anxiety or depression, okay, or bipolar or autoimmune disease.
Okay. So those kind of people. You made that correlation, that connection. First of all, can you tell me a little bit about yourself? Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Okay. And you spent most of...
And I recently moved here to Traverse City about 3.5 years ago.
So you spent most of your life in Las Vegas.
And correct.
You always have been psychic?
I have to say that since I moved to Traverse City, it quadrupled.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And why do you feel that is the case?
I honestly feel that all of the external things in a larger city, the stress, the constant going, the not being connected to nature at all, really, and the toxic environment really can fill your senses. And I think when I moved to Traverse City and was connected with nature and slowed down my life, I started hearing and feeling and seeing.
Prior to that, you really hadn't experienced much of that, you're saying?
Prior to that, it was on and off. It was not something that I actually did for a living. It was just a shoot and miss. I would know things sometimes and not understand why.
Interesting. So, and then there are, you know, like I was telling you before we started doing the interview, I said, I love living here because it offers all of that and so much more. And I think once people just get a little bit of a taste for it and see it, I think a lot of people obviously realize this is kind of like returning home, and maybe not home physically, but spiritually or connecting to things. Is that how you feel?
That's absolutely how I feel. And it really is. There's a saying out there that says, quieter you become, the more you can hear. Mm. And I really think that's what I achieved coming to Traverse City.
Yeah, Traverse City is, those of you listening that don't know where Traverse City, Michigan is, one of the most beautiful spots along Lake Michigan. It is, some people would call it a resort town, but it's just kind of nice. You've got that, like that bay, and then there's lakes there, and so you're a little bit sheltered, although I think you probably get hit by in the winter by some snow, lake effect stuff, right?
Oh, definitely.
But there's a lot of nice spots along the lake, and that is one of the premier places. And there's a lot of people that have even I think celebrities that have homes along that area because of the beauty in Traverse
yes.
City. And just
yes.
And do you feel also that the Great Lakes, I mean, any body of water seems to have power, but the oceans, the Great Lakes, big masses of water seem to have more power, connect with us?
Absolutely. And the bays here in Traverse City, the bays actually pull in that energy into Traverse City.
Mm, that's interesting. That's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And that also helps with your psychic ability, being around waters like that, you think?
I would imagine so. It's a feminine energy, so absolutely. And it's fluid, absolutely.
So tell me how you got started doing the readings. I mean, you said you would do some of it from time to time. What made you think that eventually this is something you really want to do?
It was fascinating. Absolutely fascinating to be able to connect with people, to help them change their lives, to see inside of their lives, and to even connect with some of their past loved ones to help them, guide them to live their life more fully. It just is my passion to help people.
And you actually do a couple of different courses that people can take online. And they're like 4-week courses or 6-week courses. People can actually learn. You believe everybody can kind of learn to do this for themselves?
Yes, I do. Wholeheartedly, 100%. Every single person has a guidance system. It's our natural born gift. And the course that I have takes you from being a seemingly normal person and exercises your intuitive muscles until at the end of the course, every single student that I've had has some sort of an awakening and tapped into a certain aspect of their gift.
And it really is there for us to remember in a way. It's like, for whatever reason, we're not aware of it. Now, you and I talked about this prior to this interview, that you see that there's a great change going on as well.
Yeah, there's a massive awakening going on, a shift, an energy shift.
And what is happening because of that energy shift?
All of our vibrations are being shifted and being raised. And the higher your vibration goes, the more aware you are of higher frequencies and other dimensions, I should say, or other beings.
Who are some of the beings that you communicate with or connect with on a regular basis?
I have my spiritual team. I call them, they're my spirit guides and my angels and my past loved ones. I always call them in. When I do my readings, I tap into the other person's spirit guides and the angel realm comes through quite a bit.
Do you work with just like do any of the archangels as well? Or?
Yes, I work with Archangel Raphael and Gabriel and Michael, but generally they kind of come as a collective for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's a collective energy type.
Okay, that's cool. So mm-hmm. You offer the services of doing readings as well, right? If somebody wants to come to you and they wanted to get, I see that you do Reiki, but you also do readings for people. Can you do that right over the phone as well?
Yep. Energy is energy and energy is everywhere. So I could tap into someone's energy regardless of where they live.
And you also do stuff over Skype and phone and internet. So really you could basically anybody all over the world. And we will post your website here so people can see that. But anybody can communicate with you. That's the great thing about it now is that with Skype, if you want to see somebody face to face or if you just want to talk through
exactly.
The internet. And Skype can
exactly.
also... Yeah, it gives you many, many, many choices. Now, what are you seeing a lot in people? Do you see a lot of confusion in people? Because that's kind of what that article was talking about that Anya sent me. You see, like I see, a lot of chaos, and a lot of it's caused by this great change that's going on. Is that something you're feeling as well?
Yes, I am. Either someone approaches me and says, you're never going to believe what I dreamt about, or you're never going to believe what happened. And those are the people that are actually open to this, that are understanding that something is happening or something is going on. And those are the more positive people. But the people that aren't in tune with this and they feel these feelings and they're the ones that are getting more confused and more agitated. So it's one of the two.
And so that chaos actually is leading to perhaps illness, too, for some people.
Yes, because those types of people keep ignoring and pushing away the signs and pushing away the signs. And so they're sort of being drained, I guess you could say. And in regards to the illness, when I say I'm finding more and more people that are mediums or are gifted that have these illnesses, it's because the energy of, say, a past loved one is standing next to them and they don't realize it, and the past loved one is draining their energy when they don't know it. But once you become more aware of your invisible surroundings, then you can make boundaries and not have that type of thing happen or influence you or affect your energy field.
Now, maybe, would you also say, maybe not just only the past loved ones, but also there are all kinds of beings that are here on this planet or this area, whatever you want to call this, that's not a real place, but there are all these beings, and some of those, they're kind of like vampires, if you will, energy vampires. And these could be beings that have been hanging around for a long time. Do we have to deal with some of that as well?
I would say yes, but I would also go as far to say people are energy vampires too. Mm-hmm. And you could tell who's an energy vampire. Everybody has one in their family when you go to visit them, and then you leave and you leave feeling drained and agitated. Someone that creates drama in order to hook into your energy. That's what I call an energy vampire. But yes, there probably is other beings and energies, have you will, that could drain on your energy field. Yes.
Yeah, and I think we bring it on too with our lowering of our vibration. It opens the door where these things that are just part of the universe, I'm not judging what they are, but it's like there are these things that are part of the universe. If you really get into if you're on a lot of medications or alcohol, and I'm not judging people for doing that. I like to have a beer once in a while, but I'm saying if you have an addiction to these things, from what I've seen, I've even experienced this because I used to party a little bit. I don't know about you, but it's like it's like if you were to let yourself get into a polluted state of mind, so to speak. It happened to me one time, and I just was telling a guy I had on the last show I did, and I was like watching myself, and somebody else had taken over. And that's what I think can happen to us when we get into that low vibration. There are beings just waiting for an opportunity. This doesn't mean they possess you. It's just they're waiting for an opportunity to have control, you know, over somebody.
That is very true. It's interesting that you brought that up, because, yes, we like attracts like, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So there are energies all around us standing around and waiting to influence you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So have you ever heard of the angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what you're saying is it's considered like the devil. And no, it's not necessarily the devil, but it's a lower energy and it's waiting for you to meet its match. So if you go to a family and say they do heavily drink, then they're going to have entities that love alcoholism hanging around in their house and influencing them to drink more.
Yep. And that's why they say the addiction's so hard to get rid of, because you have what they don't realize, but our science doesn't realize, is that you have probably several that are hanging around you that you can't see that say, nah, go have another one. Go have another one. You're good. And so that vibration continues to, it's like when you reach a certain point, it's like you almost step away and you allow these other things to step in. And when you step away, it's not like your soul is possessed, because I think your soul will just go back to where it came from eventually. But you open the door. It's almost like you're inviting this stuff to come in. Now, let's say you live in a house where there's abuse and people are afraid and live in fear, that can bring some of that stuff on too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the people, whenever I get a phone call from someone that says they have negative activity going on in their house, things are being moved and broken and just real negative experience, the first questions I ask them are exactly what you're saying. I'll say, is there drugs going on in there? Is there an abusive relationship happening in there? What is going on in your home? Because 9 times out of 10, it's caused, invited in, that energy is invited in by the activities of the family and what's going on in that home.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. And it's like people feel helpless, but they're really not, are they?
No, they're actually creating it or inviting it. And they're not. They're not helpless. You can. We are brighter and bigger than anything dark out there, but people, we don't realize it. A lot of people don't realize it.
We're not taught that, are we?
No, we're not. We're taught to be scared of anything that we don't know.
So what is it you tell people when they have to deal with these kind of things? What is one thing that they can do, or even a few things that they can do to turn things around?
If they had a negative experience, you mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would definitely explain to them how the activity going on in their house is inviting in something like that. So first of all, you know, cleanse your home with sage, because that gets rid of like stagnant and negative energy. Second of all, you need to shift your thoughts to positive thoughts, because they can influence your thoughts. They're whispering in one ear,
right?
You know, so you need to shift your thoughts. And another thing I tell them is don't talk about it. It's just like being bullied at school. If the bully finds out that you're scared of it and you're talking about it to all your friends, then his ego is going to get pumped up and he's going to keep bullying you. So if you have something negative going on in your home, don't start talking to all of your friends and family about it, because then it's in the background going, yeah, she's scared of me. And I'm getting what the reaction that I want.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's good to find somebody that can help you, like Brandolene and others that I know. That's maybe a step you can take, because I hear this a lot. You know, there are a lot of people that are experiencing, because, you know, the veil is thinning too. So I think more people are having these experiences, and we can protect ourselves by calling the angels in. You know, I work with another woman who believes in doing that, that you can call the angels to stand guard in your home. You can call on Archangel Michael. You can surround yourself with the light, which you probably should anytime you're dealing with realms. I'm guessing you do that as well, right?
Oh, every single day I recommend that you imagine yourself wearing a right robe.
Yeah.
Even just going out to your normal daily duties.
Because we're going to face it no matter where we go, right?
Exactly, exactly. And the thing, too, is people aren't just waking up to the negative. People are waking up to the positive and having amazing angelic experiences.
Yeah, I see a lot of that going on. And people are afraid and confused because they think... Don't you think sometimes they confuse the two because they just don't know?
Absolutely, 100%. Because the first thing they think is something's wrong because it's not normal, or they think they're going crazy.
Mm-hmm. And so what we have this fear of the unknown, and the thing is, I feel we are meant to challenge the unknown, because that's how we're going to find the truth, to make the unknown known. To not get past fear, because fear really is just an illusion as well.
Correct. Absolutely.
And fear is, some people have said this before too, and I don't know how you feel about this, Brandolene, but it really is, fear is the opposite. It's just the opposite of love. It's either one or the other. Everything is either one or the other.
I agree wholeheartedly. There's either fear or love, and love is positive and fear is negative.
And love comes in many forms, and so does fear. So anything that doesn't make you feel good. Also, when you were talking about, you know, when you talk about these things, obviously they pick up on your thoughts, thinking about them, right? They can read our thoughts. It's not like we have to even say the words. They know what we're thinking and feeling.
Right.
So, but also, I believe also we draw into our life whatever it is we believe. We live in a world that is based on the law of attraction. So is that part of it as well?
I'm not understanding your question exactly.
We draw in everything to us through what's called the universal law of attraction.
Right.
The good things that happen to us, the so-called bad things. And that's how we create. And so when we have even beings that are around us that are messing with us a little bit, that's part of that law of attraction as well. So when you talk about it, you're just reinforcing it, right?
Yes, that's true. That's goes back to what I was saying about a family that might have some disturbances going on, that they shouldn't be talking about it, because then they're just attracting more of the same.
So it's the law of attraction is bringing it in, and because you're making it more real. Our thoughts create our reality. Our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions, and the more we expand on it, that all creates everything that we experience. So that's a very good point, because I don't think anybody has ever said that in any of the interviews that I've done or people I've talked with or worked with, by talking about these things. So if you do have to admit they're there to somebody, at some point, right?
You do have to admit they're there, and so that you can acknowledge that it needs to go. But my point is, don't give it power by telling your neighbors or showing pictures of the objects or showing videos of it, because it gives it power.
Gives it power, and especially if you have fear. Now, if you don't have any fear, then you also can stand in your power and ask it to leave, right?
Yes, you can ask it to leave. You could invite in, like you said, Archangel Michael. I also recommend for people that are having those types of experiences to grid their home in black tourmaline, which is a black crystal.
Okay.
And in gridding, you could put a black tourmaline piece in the four main corners of your home with the intention that that is to protect you, and it grids an energy grid over your home.
That's really cool. There's a lot of different things, and it's nice to get another take on what people can do on that. I want to talk about your psychic boot camp. You offer a couple of different, this is what's really cool about Brandaline. She has online development courses, a basic psychic and mediumship development, and then she has an advanced one. So if people are interested in the basic one, what is that about?
That one basically starts you from the beginning, teaches you basic meditation, and helps you meet your spiritual team, your spirit guides, and your angels. And once you realize that you have this invisible team and that you're not making this up and you're not going crazy, that they help raise your vibration. And the course that I teach also exercises each muscle of that intuition. So your clairvoyance would be the psychic seeing or the visions, which I call your imagination. Your imagination is your clairvoyance. And then the hearing and the feeling. So it takes you through each one of those modules. And then you get validation by doing like simple little games. Then you realize, wow, I could see behind doors the very first week. And people get so excited that they're gifted because they just can't believe it. That by the end of the 6 weeks, for example, Anya, she can channel past loved ones through that automatic writing technique that she learned and she did very well with. It's really amazing.
Do some people, I guess like with anything, some of us are more adept at certain things over other things?
Absolutely. What I call it is your spiritual toolbox. And in the course, I introduce you to several different tools, one of them being the automatic writing. Some of them are hearing exercises. Some are remote viewing, astral projection. Those are all things that we talk about. And those are all tools. And certain people pick up one tool better than the other tool.
Now, what about if somebody, and you're saying once people go through this psychic boot camp, that's about a six-week course?
Yes, it's 6 weeks and it's online.
And how often do they communicate with you on a weekly basis? Is it once a week or what?
Yeah, I speak to my students once a week. We talk on the phone for an hour a week. And then the rest of the week, they have their own time to do all the homework assignments at their own pace, which works out great.
And then as far as if you want to go to the next one, which is the advanced psychic and mediumship development, what does that entail?
That one takes them to the next level. Some of my students with the first course, they're happy with the first course. They don't want to go on to be a psychic medium. They just want to use these gifts, you know, in their regular daily life. But some of my students want to go on and get stronger at using their gifts. And the second one is more of like a face-to-face live readings, and teaches them the house blessings things. And it teaches them all about the darker side, which I don't go into on the first course.
That's really cool. I think it's nice that people can go this. And it's not an expensive course as I'm looking at it. It's something anybody could do. And maybe a good way to get started. Do you think when you have things, I know already know what you're probably going to say on this, Brandaline, but when you have things happen to you, like at a young age, I'm sure you had things happen, was that part of your higher self or your psychic self trying to wake you up, nudge you a little bit when these things happen to us? When strange things happen to us, is this usually a wake-up call?
Absolutely, it is. Absolutely. And that's where I get the phone call saying, something really strange happened. What is it? And that's where the students find me, because then I tell them that's not strange at all. You're just becoming more aware. And yes, usually People, if they go through some sort of traumatic event, like having a surgery, or if one of their past loved ones died, or a life-changing event, sometimes somehow that rattles their cage and starts to wake them up.
Now, what about if you're born? Because I think everybody's born with different goals in mind. You know, not everybody came here. Some people came here to be asleep, you know, maybe asleep at the wheel. And if that's their journey, then so be it. I think everybody's got their own choice. But some people came here to wake themselves up, and that's the fun of it, is rediscovering it. But I have people that tell me, well, I have this psychic ability. I've had it my whole life, but I don't know if I want to go forward with it. I can't say what their journey is because I don't know. But how would you perceive that? If somebody seems to have all these psychic abilities from an early age on, is that trying to push them? Is there a chance that's trying to push them in a direction where they need to go?
I think it is trying to push them in a place where they need to go. And I almost want to say it's their ego that's holding them back for some strange reason, because I could name two people right now that are extremely gifted that they don't use it whatsoever, and they don't want to use it whatsoever. It boggles my mind, but I think it's some sort of ego problem that they just keep talking themselves out of utilizing what is right there on their plate.
I think that, you know, and also what I find, Brandolene, is fear. People, they're brought up with certain beliefs. We all have these belief systems, right, that we've been brought up with.
Mm-hmm.
And I find with most people, certainly ego keeps us. And fear is the biggest thing that people, well, I've heard that's all dark and evil. I'm not going to go there. Or I'm afraid of this because I don't know what it is. So the more, with me, the more I got my feet wet on these kind of things, then I realized there's really nothing to fear. Do you feel that way as well? There's really nothing to fear?
I do feel that way. There really is nothing to fear. When I first started speaking to dead people, I was fearful. That scared me. I didn't want to see a creepy man walking down my hallway in my, you know, house. But then there really is nothing to fear. There is nothing. We are brighter than anything that is dark. And the dead people are just people that aren't physically here anymore.
Right. It's more of a natural state anyway, right? It's like that.
Absolutely.
We think we're well, that's weird. It's like they're probably saying, well, you're the weird ones. You're in an illusion right now. You think you're alive in a physical body. And it's really, you know, we're spirit beings. That's our home.
Yes, yes.
So they should be laughing at us.
Exactly. Yeah.
It just cracks me up how people go, oh, there's ghosts out there. And oh, so-and-so passed away. And it's like, yeah, but that's going to be you someday. You're going to be, you know, sitting in a coffin, and your spirit may hang around for a while. So why is there this big fascination, or it's considered weird, when it's everybody's going to go through that point at some point, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I think you're right. I think it goes right back to fear. And you know, I have to say, anybody that has a severe fear of dying, once you wake up, I guess it is what it's called, spiritually speaking, you don't have that fear anymore.
No.
You don't.
No, especially when you've had, you know, again, if you start exploring things too, and you get past, you know, everything that we don't understand in our society is labeled and ignored for one, or it's labeled as bad. And all these years, you know, people have been taught to believe that. But if you go back in history far enough, you're going to find that these things were embraced by different cultures.
Yes, yes. I'm reading a great book on sacred knowledge. And it's amazing that we used all this before, and then it went away, and now we're coming back full circle to reawaken again.
Now, why do you think that is? Is it just part of a cycle?
I think it must be some sort of evolutionary cycle that I believe we must keep going through the same circle over and over.
Doesn't that seem a little silly?
It kind of does.
I mean, the whole concept about, well, let's see, I'm going to be born, I choose to be born down there in this lifetime so I can experience and learn and create, but make sure I forget the previous time. And I know they say you don't want to remember because maybe some of it would be traumatic. But if we truly stepped away from all that, it would be good to know, because we're always searching. Well, gee, I wonder what I did. You know, why am I remembering this from a previous time? And then so these little memories pop up, and it's like, why go through all that to begin with, is the way I look at it. It's like, really? Do we need to come down here and forget so we can try to remember? What's the purpose of that?
I think some of it is karmic release, where if you, say, killed your brother in one life and then you come back this life and that brother is still is in your life as a different role this time, you might be looking out for him to come and kill you back. So
right.
I think it, some of that forgetfulness is karmic release.
Yeah, probably. It would keep us, because if we knew, then we wouldn't allow ourselves to, oh, don't mind me, brother, I'm putting away the dishes. Oh, there's a knife on the counter there. Go ahead and grab that and put that away. You know, you wouldn't be turning your back to your brother who you stabbed in a previous lifetime.
Exactly.
But, and I know that's part of it too. But after a while, even that is a journey in itself. Because I think, you know, we live so many times. We probably experience so many things. And karma in itself too is part of this belief. And I think we can go beyond that. And I think that's what we're starting to see, this great awakening. Do you think the earth is changing as well?
Yes, I do. I absolutely do. With this last, the two, the equinox and the sun and the moon.
Eclipses.
The equinox that just happened and the eclipses that just happened. There's tons and tons of articles about all the solar flares coming, and it's actually activating our DNA, and it's activating the Earth's DNA, and every single thing is raising in vibration. And I just saw an article that the Schumann resonance, I don't know if you know what that is, but it's basically the heartbeats of the Earth's frequency, the hertz that it vibrates at, it actually just doubled. It doubled. And so if Mother Earth is waking up and we're standing on her, then we're waking up too, because we are one, right?
Right. We're all part of that. And Mother Earth is an actual living being, an energy, a living being, right?
Yeah, it's crystalline in nature. The whole inside is crystalline, and the crystal holds vibration and holds memory and holds information. And yeah, it's all waking up.
So... And then there's the, you know, and I've been to, you know, I've had people on my show that we've channeled the planet, we've channeled source, we've channeled just about everything there is to channel. But, you know, the planet is shifting to a higher vibration. Gaia is going in, and this is just part of what, I don't know if you want to say an agreement, but there was a time when this was going to happen. And we can choose to shift with it, and the ride will be a lot easier. Or it could be a little bumpy if we choose to continue to ignore it. Do you see that going on as well?
Yes, yes, I do see that. I do, and I think that's why everybody's waking up psychically or intuitively. So those are the people that are ready to shift, and I think that's why some people are freaking out, basically. Because they're not willing to change their vibration, so they're kind of going the other way. They're acting crazy.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think they're right now, from what I've been able to understand and even feel myself, when these things happen, is that if you don't stay grounded, a lot of these energies, we're getting pounded with a lot of these. It's like we're downloading like a computer would, you know, all this new information, and it's coming through our crown chakra. And it can cause you to have, well, a mild headache. Sometimes I experience that. Body aches, I think. But it also, if you go beyond that, if you're not open to it, I think it could cause a lot of chaos in your life as well.
I would agree with that. I would definitely agree with that.
And maybe,
I recommend grounding every day.
And how do you ground?
There's different techniques that you could ground. Being here in Northern Michigan, I bet you're excited. Well, at least here in Traverse City, you could actually put your butt on the ground now without having snow there. So actually being in contact with Mother Earth barefoot or sitting on the ground. And there's other techniques where you can imagine roots coming out of your feet and out of your root chakra and going all the way to the core of Mother Earth. taking your dog for a walk or petting an animal, walking on the beach, those are all great ways to be grounded.
Right. Kind of like if you can't physically get out there, you could at least visualize the part of doing that, connecting to the planet.
Visualization, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And some people maybe aren't able to do that, wherever, depending where they're at on the planet that are listening to this. So I'm just glad, nothing against people that live in a major city or an inner city, but I would just not feel the way I feel at peace like I do where I live now. And more power to you if you're happy there and that's what you want. Good for you if you are at peace with it. But to me, and I'm guessing you now as well, and it's funny that it's taken you this long, and now in the last few years, you've like stepped into what you need to be, huh?
Yeah, it's in hindsight, I think everything leads us to exactly where we're supposed to be.
Right.
But I have to agree with you, moving from a large city like Las Vegas, Nevada to Traverse City was a huge energetic shift for me. And I think people that live in the city really need to take heed and really need to focus on doing those grounding exercises.
Because there's a lot more chaotic energy, is that the way to put it, in the cities, would you say?
Yes, and the chaotic energy brings your energy up. And so, you know, symptoms of not being grounded, like you said, are body aches and pains, but also going from one task to another without completing it, kind of almost like an adult ADD. You're bouncing all over the place. You're worried all the time. Mm-hmm. You can't stay focused. And I think a lot of people that live in a large city probably know exactly what I'm talking about. They probably feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
And being grounded pulls that energy back down so that you're connected to the earth and you could think clearer and focus more.
Right. And become more of what we are. And I would, you know, I'll even go as far as to say, because, you know, I guess I have my certain beliefs on things, but there's almost a deliberate, there might be those trying to keep us from getting this, from seeing this. I believe it's almost, they don't want us to wake up. There are those that don't want us to wake up, and it's been part of what's been going on for a long time. And so we're seeing this chance, this opportunity to become aware of that and pull away from that. And that's why I think the world is changing, because people are starting to question the authority that has had the upper hand for a long time. And maybe that's a good thing. That's what we need to do. I'm not saying we have to get out of control, but I'm saying that we need to question everything that's going on in our life. Do you really feel, like a lot of people tell me, that we are going to have some major shifts in our life, and if what doesn't serve us may just go away completely?
Yes. Things are falling away already because the vibrations are going up. And I do agree with what you were saying, is that certain people in the know or in the power do try to block this because of their fear of losing control. And in the course that I teach, the psychic development and psychic and mediumship development course, I do touch on the things that keep us blocked, the things that keep our gifts blocked. And a lot of those things are things like fluoride and heavy metals and toxic food and that you consume. And so I talk about removing all of those things and showing the difference that will happen to your body energetically and your aura and your chakras, and how you can easily tap in and be connected, so much stronger connection when you remove those things that are blocking us.
Mm. That's really cool. I mean, that's, you know, stuff that I hear over and over again from many different people, and I believe it 100%. And I think the biggest thing, too, you can do a lot of that. There's times you're not going to probably be able to eat the food that you might consider always healthiest food. But I think our attitude towards that makes a huge difference.
Yes, yes.
So there are times, let's say you're out with some friends. I don't know if you worry about what you eat so much or anything like that. I'm guessing you do because you want to be clear. But maybe you're out with some people and you eat something that it's okay, you know. But I feel, you know, that in itself is an illusion as well. The food we put in our mouth is an illusion. Everything's an illusion. So it's the attitude. We can actually bless those things and make them better for ourselves.
I like that you say that. I thought I was just making that up in my own head. Because I tend to agree with what you're saying. If you take food that is not necessarily what you wanted to eat, and if you did put an energetic thought to it, like, so to say, like people pray over their food, and mm-hmm. I'm not the most religious quote unquote person, but yes, you're putting energy into that food and it's actually changing the molecules. So it would be actually better for you than it was if you didn't.
You know, if you just look at like mom, I don't know what kind of family life you had, but mom's food was always the best, and it was love. The secret ingredient was love. And if you go to restaurants and you have chefs that love what they're doing, the food tastes better because that's the secret ingredient that we all, that's what makes us all healthy. That's what I think is really what it is in all of it. If you can bless something with love, or when you're doing, when you're making somebody food, and you just feel really, really good, I think that energy is going to get in there as well.
That's really, I love that. I love that. And it reminds me of an experiment that somebody did with water molecules.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever seen that, yep. But they took just regular water, fluoridated water, and then they would pray over it, or they would even tape the word love mm-hmm. on the cup.
Yeah.
And it would change the molecules of that water.
Absolutely. And there was even, I don't know, you're probably familiar with Deepak Chopra and his yes. centers, but he's talked about doing experiments where you get a group of people together and they focus, first of all, on anger and things like that, and the water crystals turn really weird. And then when you focus on love, the water completely changes, becomes bright and clear and everything. So it becomes murkier when they focus with anger. They've deliberately done that to see how we can affect everything around us. So a lot of us feel helpless. And I guess I'm bringing this up because there are people that maybe don't have as much money, or maybe they don't have, you know, buying all that food that supposedly is healthy for you. That's a lot of, that's very expensive, right?
It is expensive, and I think that this comes down to the law of attraction.
Mm-hmm.
So if you tell yourself, I am buying this food, I will have all the money I need to buy the food that will feed my body properly, then you will.
Mm-hmm.
It does come down to the law of attraction.
Maybe you live in an area where there aren't many places like that. It's pretty remote up here. I think we have one in Marquette that is more of a natural food place. But I don't get to shop there very often. I'm not going to drive 65 miles away. So my attitude is to put love into the food that I do purchase. And I avoid a lot of the, you know, stuff that's on the shelves that's got a lot of things in it. But even then, once in a while, I don't worry about it. I guess I don't put that power into it. I put more of just, I love this. I'm going to put love into it when I make it. And so far, I've stayed pretty healthy. Haven't croaked yet. So
I like that. That's definitely a technique I think a lot of people should be using.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes maybe you don't have an option. Well, maybe there always is an option. Like you say, the law of attraction, you can create anything you really, really want, right?
Right, as long as you believe it.
Yeah.
As long as you believe you deserve it.
That's the key. And some things are easier than others, right? Because you could say, well, I'm going to multi-billionaire, okay? And that maybe doesn't happen because you truly at some level maybe aren't on that level of understanding.
So,
some things are easier, like, well, I'm going to walk across the street today. Well, you should be able to do that. It shouldn't be too hard to do. Well, yeah, but it might rain today. Well, that's great. So you can bring those things in. Is there anything else you really want to tell me about? Because I know you do offer a lot of things. You're a psychic medium, a mentor, a healer, a life coach. What else would you like to tell me, Brandolyn?
I don't know. I think this was a great conversation. I just love to talk about the benefits of my class that I teach and how it's amazing to see somebody's life shift in just 6 weeks.
Mm. Yeah, that's cool.
And to be able to embrace the gifts that they have just to navigate through their life and live their life more fully.
Do you think people need to do more meditating as well? Do we think we need more of that?
Oh, absolutely. Like I said earlier, the quieter you become, the more you can hear. And meditation is a way to completely change your life by removing worry, by removing stress, and by it taps you right into source. So all of a sudden, even if it's not your intention, you're going to suddenly have this knowing or this this, you know, nudging to do better things for yourself just through meditation alone.
Yeah, so if people are listening to this, and right now maybe you're in a position where you go, well, I can't afford to do this, or it's like, well, like you say, you really can if you put that out in the universe, or maybe if you put it out that you want that to be, then it'll come forward. But even if you don't want to do any of that right now, the first thing you can do is start finding a quiet place and making time for that. And that's the biggest thing. I think people, myself included at times, I just feel like I'm on a go all the time. And then it's like, okay, I need to meditate a little bit. It's like, well, I'm tired now. Oh, I got to do this now. But it's really something you have to do, try to get into a practice of doing. How often, how long do you meditate?
I recommend people meditate at least 15 minutes, at least five times a week. 15 minutes a day, five times a week. And for people that can't, like at this time, can't afford, or they're not in the position to take a course like mine, I do recommend a few things. And one of them is the meditation for 15 minutes a day. And then journaling, I feel, is the second most important thing, because you are bringing in things that are from your brain into this dimension, into the physical reality, and you're writing it in your journal, which lets spirit know, like spirit guides, angels, and your realm, your people that are in your realm, it lets them know what you're thinking, what you're receiving through the meditation, and what they need to work on to raise your vibration, or what they need to do to get your attention more.
Would you also say that maybe sometimes we just need to really know what we want, and then we have to ask for it?
Yes, a lot of times we're so wishy-washy in our thoughts that our spiritual team is running to the left to gather this, and then you change your mind and they're running to the right to gather this. So it's really important for you to think about your intentions and your goals and to write down exactly what you want.
Yeah, that's huge, isn't it? Like a, what do they call them, vision board? Create a vision board?
Yes, and that's a part of my class. I have everybody create one of those.
What is your website? If somebody wants to go to your
website. My website is brandalene.com. It's as simple as that. It's brandalene.com.
Well, I'll tell you what. It's really a pleasure talking to you, Brandalene. I look at your site, and I really like what I see. It's a lot of cool things and a chance for people to empower themselves. You know, sometimes I will... Well, you meet all different types of people, and nothing against them, but there are those who don't want to give up that power, even within those that are working as mediums and psychics, and they kind of want to make people dependent on them, and I'm not real supportive of that, but I like the fact that you are teaching people to do it for themselves, because even within this organization of light workers, if you want to call them that, I think people get caught up in stuff. We're human, right? And so yeah. They lose sight of the bigger picture. And again, sometimes a little bit of power, we're all kind of drawn to that because it's so easy to fall into that category of, well, I can have control over these people. I'm like a messiah. You know, it's like, well, look at me. And they kind of get off course, I think, sometimes. So I always like it when I see people that are trying to get others to do it for themselves, because that's really what it's all about, isn't it?
It really is. It really is. And my passion is shifting our reality from one reality to the other and helping people go from closed or not being in power of their life, and to help empower them to not just for themselves, but for this evolution, for the collective evolution. It's important that all of us be on the same page.
Yeah, it's certainly going to help speed things up and maybe make it a little less bumpy. And I look at it that whether or not people do get that, because I really believe everybody has their own journey and whatever pace they choose to go on it, that's also fine as well. But you and I and many others are here at this time. We volunteered for this to maybe help bring this forward. Do you feel that way as well?
Yes, I do. I do.
So we signed up for it. We signed up for it. We might as well do it, right?
Yep, I tell everybody it's time to wake up to do what you came here to do.
Yeah, and maybe not everybody came here to do this. I mean, would you say that as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say that. I would say there has to be opposition. There has to be two sides of the coin. So there has to be light so that we can see the dark, or vice versa.
Right, the yin and the yang. But I also think there are people, when you live, you know, look at people's lifetimes, they come back again and again and again. sometimes somebody might just come back, well, I just want to experience what it's like to, you know, do this for a short time and then I'm checking out. And maybe that's all they came here for. So I take all of that in. I look at all of it. Not everybody is here to wake up the planet. Some people might, this might be their first time here. So it's like, this is a new experience to them. And others have been here for a long time and they're ready to move on to another experience. So they're going, you know what? You guys can save the planet. I'm just here to fall asleep by the side of a road and get run over by a car. Whatever, you know, whatever their experience might be. I've always wanted to experience that. I'm good. I'm going to another realm. So that's kind of, I step back and I see that, that some people are really want to, you know, bring this forward. And I know this is something I signed up for, but maybe not everybody. And that's okay. I don't have a problem with that.
Right. Right. I can agree with that. Yeah.
Everybody's got their own thing. And none of us truly know, I guess, what it is. Now, do you deal with past lives as well, helping people to see some of that?
In some of my readings, it comes forward, and I think it's only when the client is ready to know something about their past life. I don't specialize in that, but sometimes when I'm doing a reading, it will clearly come up that that person was in Egypt for some reason.
You know, some people will say that sometimes disease, well, I think all disease is brought on by the way we think, first and foremost, but sometimes it's brought on also through things we're holding on to from a previous time. So I know a lot of people that will try to help you heal. And I'm reading on your site that, you know, by living our purpose, it makes us a lot healthier, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Because if we keep ignoring the signs and the nudging, regardless of what we came here to do, if we keep ignoring it, it's almost like we're lying to ourselves. And then we didn't do what we came here to do. And if that's the case, and if you're not going to do it, then you will have to go back home and come back again.
That's a good message. Okay, that's a little wake-up call. Well, thank you very much, Brandolene. It's really nice to meet you. And I hope we can, if you want to talk again sometime, I'd be more than happy to do that. And I hope you feel the same way, that you'd like to do this as well.
That would be great. I really appreciate you having me on, and I've really enjoyed our conversation thoroughly. Thank you so much.
Same here. It was really nice to meet another light worker who's on the same
journey.
It always
is. Yeah, and in the same state, too.
It's always nice to connect with people like that. Thank you very much.
It is. Thank you so much.